This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
We'll hear if the trade war is raining on China's 70th anniversary parade. I'm David Brancaccio in Washington today. You've noticed politics in this town have become extra intense in the past week, but throughout. The stock market, at least, has been fairly placid. Even this morning in early trading, checking my screens here, the Dow is up 87 points, 0.3%. S&P up 0.4%. The NASDAQ up 0.3%. Now, to start the week, let us connect to economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Hello there.
Good morning.
I've been looking at my market screens for the past not quite a week. It looks like the impeachment investigation is not a stock market story.
Well, the market is nervously watching it. It does potentially have implications. I think the impeachment brings into focus the 2020 election, and I can't remember a presidential election that was as consequential for financial markets as the upcoming election. Whether Trump is reelected or there's a Democratic president, it will mean substantial differences in policy that I think will matter for markets.
Such as how Wall Street itself is regulated. That's an interesting point. Now, last week, we did report several times on crumbling consumer confidence and crumbling consumer spending. This week, some new data?
Yeah, the first week of the month, we always get some of the biggest data readings. We get the business sentiment indexes on both from manufacturing and the service sector. And most importantly, we will get the employment report at the end of the week. So the employment report will tell us whether that virtuous circle between hiring and consumer spending is starting to show some cracks.
Julia Coronado, economist and founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, over the weekend, a U.S. Treasury Department spokesperson said the U.S. has no plans, quote, at this time, to ban Chinese companies from listing on U.S. stock markets. Bloomberg News late last week had reported this was under discussion. White House trade advisor Peter Navarro was grumpy about this on CNBC this morning, calling that report, quote, fake news. Beijing this weekend said any moves by the U.S. to, quote, decouple the American and Chinese economies would hurt both sides. Meanwhile, the big celebration of the 70th anniversary of China's founding is tomorrow. On the line from Shanghai is Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pak. Hi there.
Hi, David.
All right, day before the birthday, what's the mood?
Well, people are, of course, very proud of China's economic achievements. People here remember not having enough to eat growing up, but now some people are complaining about having too much meat in their diet. So much of the celebration, though, will be focused in Beijing, which kicks off with a massive military parade and fireworks display. But, you know, this celebration comes at a time when the economy is slowing down. Plus, the U.S. and China have imposed tariffs on billions of dollars worth of goods from each other. So there are some people concerned about their immediate future.
So the hoopla over the anniversary has not completely drowned out the issue of the U.S.-China trade war.
No, not at all, because you have the U.S. threatening to impose tariffs and then delaying them and threatening them again, China saying it will retaliate. It's very confusing, and it's causing a lot of uncertainty, which, of course, is bad for business. And it's affecting industries that aren't directly targeted by the tariffs. This is traditionally a time for people to go on vacation. But, you know, even if you go to the corner vegetable market around my place, a lot of the vendors there tell me they're not going to close for the holidays. They are going to try to stay open and make as much money as they possibly can.
Jennifer, you're just back from reporting in the manufacturing belt in southern China, and we'll hear some of those reports later this week. Give us a taste.
Well, I was interested in President Donald Trump suggesting that China has been the winner in this trade relationship. And I really wanted to understand if people felt that way here. So I zoomed in on one industry, the shoe industry, and asked people up and down the supply chain whether they felt they were winners. The short answer is yes, but they feel that the bigger winners are U.S. consumers.
I know. Did you see this? The Chinese news agency Xinhua this morning is reporting that to be sure that even poor households get to see the 70th anniversary pageantry in their homes, they're giving out over 600,000 free 32-inch wide flat screen TVs.
No, I haven't seen that, but I'm not surprised. The Communist Party really wants people to share in the celebration and first and foremost be grateful to them for the success.
And apparently they're Chinese-made TVs. Of course, Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Marketplace helps you stay sharp on crucial matters related to business, the economy, and money. And to help you do some numbers of your own, you can get your very own Marketplace Pencil Pack when you become a Marketplace investor today. It's a set of six pencils, each stamped with a favorite Marketplace quote, yours for a donation of just $5 a month. Support public service journalism and get your pencil pack today at marketplace.org. And thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The new digital currency that Facebook is spearheading may get delayed. Originally, the idea was to launch maybe next year. The social media giant wants to build a global digital currency in partnership with some other big financial players. But getting regulators to approve Libra is proving to be a heavy lift. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has more.
Facebook wants to create a digital currency that would allow people to send money around the world as easily as sending a text. Lisa Ellis, analyst at MoffettNathanson, says the company seems to be stepping back from its planned 2020 debut.
They're starting to temper expectations around the time frame for launch.
Ellis says the new currency, Libra, is intended to provide an alternative to traditional money, particularly in places with an unstable government or financial system.
I mean, that's a pretty audacious goal.
Regulators agree. Officials in the US, France, Germany, and India have hinted they might stop Libra. The Libra Association, made up of Facebook and partners like MasterCard, Visa, and PayPal, says it is still aiming for 2020, but that could slip as it listens to all concerns. And that is vital, says Mark Williams at Boston University.
The headwinds that Facebook is dealing with has to do with a credibility problem.
Facebook has to convince regulators and potential users that it's changed after its recent privacy scandals and data breaches. Because, he says, to succeed, a currency has to be issued by a credible party. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
And the buy-it-cheap-then-throw-it-away clothing chain Forever 21 has filed for protection from its creditors, Chapter 11 bankruptcy. About 100 stores in the U.S. will close, but many will stay open. Lots of stores will shut in Asia and Europe. Online is eating into its profits, and Forever 21 is often a shopping mall store. And modern Americans seem to entertain themselves with smartphones and not so much walking around shopping malls anymore. In Washington, D.C., I'm Dave Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.